Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ruthlessness, double-crossing and duplicity. That's what awaits us when The Traitors comes to RTE One this coming Sunday. But what kind of personality thrives while telling lies, and what can The Traitors teach us about the world of work? Well, Sinead Brady is a career psychologist and she's been examining the dynamic of all of this. Good morning to you, Sinead.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to The Traitors this weekend. And I think, I don't know whether you'd agree, but one of the reasons it works, I think, is that we can really see ourselves in that show. Whereas with some of them that are a bit more far-fetched, like the Survivor type ones, you know,
absolutely.
Like I'm a Celebrity.
The Love Island. Exactly.
You could never see yourself on that, but you can see yourself being part of this, right? Which makes it really identifiable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the thing about it is that it gives us this lens into kind of how human behavior connects, works in real life. And it gives us a lens both onto how other people work and think, but also a little bit of a lens to turn back onto ourselves. So the hidden agendas, the strategic silences, and how to mind yourself at work or in work or in whatever situation you find yourself.
So when you look at something like The Traitors, and when people see it this weekend, and I'm sure it's really interesting for you coming from your psychology background, but what kind of personality thrives in that type of situation where you're encouraged to be duplicitous?
So this is really interesting. An awful lot of the work and research that's been done on personality at the moment talks about personality being on a spectrum. So actually what it suggests is that we're not any one particular personality type, but we are inclined to display the traits of that personality depending on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. So this is, as you say, so super interesting from an organisational and work perspective. Because if we sit on a scale or a spectrum, it means that we, any one of us, is likely to show some or all of those traits at different times in order to protect ourselves. Because self-preservation is the human condition.
So you're saying everyone lies pretty much all of the time?
Yeah, and research tells us that even though we might say, I would never tell a lie, we tell lies all the time. You know, my kids are going out to school this morning and just to get them out the door, I was telling them lies. Like little things, you know, it'll be fine. I don't know whether it'll be fine or not. So we all tell these little lies on an ongoing basis. But the level to which you are inclined to go, if you are, you know, not necessarily a psychopath or a sociopath or something like that, is very different depending on your moral compass. Mm-hmm. So some people will tell little lies, some people will tell big lies, and other people who would generally always tell the truth, if they are in an environment that threatens them, they will often tell lies to avoid a consequence, or they will do something just to keep their head down and not get noticed.
Yeah, but when you watch the UK version of the show, and if anyone hasn't seen it, it'll become quickly apparent now when it hits RTE this weekend, some people on that programme are so good at telling lies as opposed to the others who you can just see through straight away. I mean, some people do seem to have a knack for it, don't they?
They do, and they have this thing that you might call a poker face, Claire. And I think they've got this way of being much more comfortable with lying. And that tends to be because lying is a strategic behaviour, typically. It's one in which people have practiced it over time, or where they have been exposed to circumstances whereby it has been important for their survival to be able to lie and to be duplicitous in order to survive. So it's not always that people are very dishonest, or that they find it more easy to lie, but often the cost of honesty is too high. And when they have been repeatedly exposed to situations where the cost of honesty is too high, they become much more able to tell a lie or be duplicitous in the circumstance in order to self-preserve.
And we'll see on the show when the contestants have the round table meeting and they're trying to figure out who the traitor or traitors are at the table. You might go in there and you'll see this happening all the time. The contestants will have a very fixed idea. They know who it is. And then you'll have another forceful member of the group who completely changes the dynamic. What's going on there?
So you might recognize this yourself if you've ever been in a circumstance where you've been like, you know, I'm going to go into this and I'm going to say what I think. And then suddenly you find the feeling, it begins to start and maybe your hands begin to sweat. Maybe your voice cracks. Maybe you're just not able to because there is fear sitting in that room, or where there is power, or where there's a consequence for what you are going to say, or where you just stop trusting yourself. And that's what's happening in that circumstance. And people change their mind very quickly because of that fear, because they're not able to perform the truth, because it is not a psychologically safe environment. And the strategy is to do what you have to do to survive.
But does that mean then that those who have supreme confidence in that room are going to always dominate?
Yeah, so you'll often see that it's actually, you know, very often, and there's a fantastic book that you can read. It's about how do so many overconfident people that are less competent become leaders. And it's often where people become so charismatic in how they talk and how they speak, and they become confident and then overconfident, but their competence is not actually matched with their confidence. They're overconfident and undercompetent. And we often mistake confidence for competency. And that's where, when we sit with people in rooms, they often say, don't meet your hero, because very often confidence is so strong, but competence is on the ground. They're not able to do what they say they're able to do, but they still get to a level of power and authority. And that is something that is quite worrying. And that's often where organisations don't have psychological safety, because you have to do what that person says, or the consequence is too great for you.
It's also really interesting, and you wonder whether those big roundtable meetings then in a work context are actually useful at all, if you're going to have the dominant person being the confident person who, as you've just been explained to us, might not be the most competent person.
Absolutely. And that is the piece that's so important. You know, roundtables are great if they're actually that, where they're all feet under the table, where people can talk, where there's a language of, you know, of courage, where people can actually speak to one another, where they can say what they're thinking, irrespective of their seniority within an organisation. And we know, again, from kind of black box thinking and so on, often it is the least senior person that holds the key to unlock what needs to be talked about the most. They kind of bring this breath of freshness to the table. So where all people have a voice, where people are considered for their contribution and not because they hold a position of authority or power. In fact, at a round table, that should be the least important factor.
Mm-hmm. But of course, when it comes to the traitors, it is the most important
factor.
Exactly. Which yes. Brings me to the question, I'm really interested to hear your view on this, because as we've seen in the UK version, there are people who are just absolutely ruthless at getting their hands on the prize money, and it's their sole focus. Irish people, though, we might be more concerned about everybody liking us. And I just wonder whether you think we're ruthless enough for this.
Oh, I think, again, we exist on that spectrum, and there will be some people who will be ruthless enough irrespective of where they come from. But culture, I suppose, is part of it. And Ireland is a small nation. But when money comes into the equation, I think we might be quite surprised to see that, you know, this will be a situation where people will follow the money. And I think they may be as ruthless as they need to be for their own individual gain.
Can ruthlessness be a valuable thing to have, a useful thing to have at work, or when does it start to become toxic and dangerous?
So it starts to become toxic and dangerous. I think that's a brilliant question, Claire, because it becomes toxic and dangerous when there is no space for conversation, when there's no space for collaboration, when it is you must do as I say, or there will be repercussions for you. And that's a very dangerous space to sit in. And that's where we have to look at this and go, that's not actually leadership. That's a power play. Mm-hmm. And we have to step to one side of that. So where people are made to feel that they must agree, where there's no conversation, no collaboration, and there genuinely isn't an opportunity to grow, to talk, to connect, that's very toxic.
I mean, some people would call it ruthlessness. Other people would say, well, it's just being tough and having your eye on the prize, whether that is a promotion or a particular pay level.
Yes, but then there's the part that looks at it and it's like, well, you know, how do I feel about myself at the end of the day? And you have to remember that your career or your job is only one part of your identity, not all of it. And if, you know, you're not feeling connected to what you're doing because you've been ruthless to get there, there is a point, you know, in your career or in your role where you look back and you go, I don't actually have the people around me. I don't have that community around me that support me to do my role and that support me to progress, that I can fall back on. And without that, the majority of us, we're not built to be lone wolves. We're built to be parts of communities. And irrespective of where you sit on the leadership table or in the organization, we all need a community around us. And if we've been ruthless to the point of being unkind, unfair, and just generally not nice to other people, you do come to regret that at some point. And yes, bottom lines have to be hit, and businesses can be a cold, callous place, but there can also be a kind place.
Sinead, we'll leave it there, but thank you very much, Sinead Brady, career psychologist and author. And don't forget, The Traitors Ireland will be on RT1 television this Sunday at 9:30.